went into service in the Count's castle. There she sat in a magnificent room dressed in silk and velvet. Not a breath of wind was allowed to blow on her, nor anyone to speak a harsh word to her. She was nurse to the Count's child, who was as beloved as a prince, beautiful as an angel. How she loved him! Her own child was provided for in the ditch digger's house, where his wife's temper boiled over more often than her pot. Sometimes the child was left alone all day long and cried, but what nobody hears doesn't bother anyone. He cried himself to sleep, and in sleep there is neither hunger nor thirst. Sleep is such a good invention. Ill weeds grow fast, says the proverb, and Anne Elizabeth's boy did indeed shoot up rapidly. It was as if he had taken root in the ditch digger's household. His mother had paid for his upbringing and considered herself well rid of him. She was a city lady now, was well provided for, and whenever she went out, she was beautifully dressed. But she never went to see her son at the ditch digger's. That was too far from the city, and there was no reason for her to go there anyway. The boy was theirs, and now, they decided, it was time for him to earn his keep, so he found work tending Mats Jensen's red cow. The watchdog at Blydam Manor sits proudly on top of its house in the sunshine, barking at passers-by, but in rainy weather it lies warm and dry inside its kennel. Anne Elizabeth's boy sat at the edge of a ditch in the sunshine, whittling sticks or watching three blossoming strawberry plants. He hoped they would soon turn into berries. That was his happiest thought. But the berries never ripened. Through sunshine or showers he sat there. He was often soaked to the skin, but the cold wind soon dried his clothes on his body. Whenever he went to the farmyard, he received only kicks and cuffs and was called stupid and ugly. He was used to that. Nobody loved him. How did Anne Elizabeth's boy get along? How could he under such circumstances? It was his fate never to be loved. At last he was literally pushed off the earth and sent to sea in a wretched little sailing vessel. Here he took the helm while the skipper drank, a frostbitten, shabby-looking little boy, and always hungry. One would think he had never had enough to eat, and that really was the case. It was late in autumn, wet, raw, stormy weather with a wind that cut through the warmest clothing, especially out at sea. A miserable little vessel with one sail drove on before the wind. It had a crew of two men, or rather a man and a half, the skipper and his boy. All day the light had been no brighter than twilight. Now it grew still darker, and it was bitterly cold. The skipper brought forth a bottle and a glass and took a swallow to warm himself up. The top of the glass was whole, but its foot had been broken off, so instead it had a little piece of wood painted blue to stand on. A drink is a great comfort, and two are even better. The boy was at the helm, holding it with rough, tarred hands, a wretched, shrinking form with unkempt hair. It was the ditch digger's boy, registered in the parish records as the son of Anne Elizabeth. The wind drove the ship hard before it. The sail bellied out before the power of the wind. It was rough and wet everywhere, and it might soon be even worse. Stop! What was that? What crashed? What sprang up? What grasped the little vessel? The boat whirled around. Was it a waterspout or a tidal wave? The boy at the helm screamed, "Lord Jesus, save us!" The vessel had struck on a great rock, and it sank like a waterlogged old shoe in a duck pond. Sank with man and mouse, as the saying goes. There were mice on board, but only a man and a half. The skipper and the ditch digger's boy. No one saw it, save the screaming gulls above and the darting fishes beneath, and these hardly saw it clearly, for they fled in terror when the water poured into the doomed vessel. There it lay, scarcely a fathom below the water, and the two were drowned and forgotten. Only the glass was left, for the blue wooden block kept it afloat, and it drifted onto the shore. Where and when? That's of no consequence. That old broken glass had been useful, and had been loved, too, in a way, which Anne Elizabeth's son had never been. However, in the kingdom of heaven no soul shall ever have cause to sigh, never loved. Anne Elizabeth, meanwhile, had been living for several years in a large town. She was addressed as Madam, and always held herself very proudly when she spoke of olden times, of the times when she rode in a carriage and talked with countesses and baronesses. And she talked of her foster child, the sweetest of little angels, and how he had loved her and she had loved him, how they had kissed and caressed each other, for he was her pride.